tomorrow we will celebrate what we call Labor Day. Now, there will be picnics and barbecues, parades and concerts, perhaps a few fireworks. Now, I wanted to understand the origin of this celebration, so I consulted the internet for its explanation. This is a direct quote. Labor Day is a federal holiday in the United States, celebrated on the first Monday in September to honor and recognize the American labor movement and the works and contributions of laborers to the development and achievements of the United States. Its intent is to acknowledge the worker. Now, we also include the weekend prior to Labor Day as part of the tribute, calling it Labor Day weekend, extending the acknowledgement beyond the one day that was set aside for this purpose. Now, the interesting thing, this means that at this very moment, we are in the midst of the celebration. And because Monday has been declared a holiday, many of those in the workforce have been given the day off to honor and recognize their work contributions. Employers will not require their employees to work on that day. On Labor Day, they will not be laboring in the usual manner, toiling away at what they normally do in order to make a living. Now, I dare say that when we ask individuals why they are working, the usual response is, I am working to make a living. This focus on how it is that we provide for ourselves is so prevalent that many times when we first meet someone after that introduction, the first thing we ask, what do you do for a living? There is a certain amount of upkeep involved in caring for us. And the activity of support and maintenance is very time-consuming. This business of looking after us includes providing food and clothing and putting a roof over our heads. Then there may be the need to support a family, the need for transportation and education. While these are indeed necessities, they do cost money. And the traditional way to earn money is to have a job, one that is sufficient to meet our needs, with some income left over for pleasure and recreation. Therefore, we give much time and attention to deciding what we will do as our day job. Now, what we call the day job is our main means of support, and we look to it to provide the income we feel is necessary for the quality of life we wish to live. We all work at something. Whether our method is brain or brawn, still, we work at something. Sometimes we focus our attention so intently on our occupation that we take on its persona as our identity, identifying us by our profession rather than by our given name. Another thing to consider is this: do we like what we do? Do we enjoy getting up in the morning and going to work? I recently had a conversation with a checkout clerk at the grocery store at the Giant. She told me she loves her job, and she loves the customers who come through her line. She loves her coworkers and the actual work itself. I thought it was very timely that I would have this conversation. While developing today's lesson, which I have entitled, Love What You Do. And I wondered, what makes the difference? Why does one individual love what they are doing, while another appears to be merely eking out a living, while in the process of making a living? During the pandemic, many individuals worked from home. Now, for many people, this was a new idea. And at first, no one was quite sure how they would react. Would they consider it a form of restriction or view it with a sense of freedom? However, in time, they apparently adjusted so well that employers are finding it difficult convincing them to return to the office now. If they love what they are doing, perhaps they loved it even more without the distractions and interruptions which do come with on-site occupancy. On the other hand, perhaps they do not love what they are doing and found doing it a little more bearable in the comfort of their own home. Whatever our intent and purpose, I think we can all agree that life is a lot more enjoyable when we love what we are doing. The challenge for us is to discover what that might be. Now, when I say love what we are doing, I mean love what it is that we are doing to fill our day. This is important not only to the one who goes to their day job, but also applies to that student in school, the volunteer, and the retiree. The thing is this, as I said earlier, we all work at something. Now, there are those times when we work with our mind, contributing ideas and concepts, which provide motivation and encouragement, either to our employer, to a project, ourselves, or to another individual. Perhaps we work with our hands, building things, allowing them to go from idea to manifestation, promoting advancement and improvement. I have observed that the ones who say they love what they do involve themselves wholeheartedly in what they are doing. You might say that they lose themselves in their work. It would appear to be a matter of fulfillment, inner fulfillment, expressing their God-given gifts and talents in ways that God intended that they use them. When we follow the desires of the heart to express in individual ways, according to our innate nature, we do feel content and satisfied, and yes, we love what we do. This feeling of contentment is really the life we want to live. Now, until we discover the value of inner work, we may concentrate our efforts in the outer, focusing on its income and compensation, chasing after what is passing, what is temporary, ignoring what is lasting and permanent. We give attention to what we consider our good. Or perhaps we use that word supply, looking for it in a material way. We use that word supply as a catch-all phrase for all things we consider necessary to meet our expectations. Let us remember, the need to provide for us is what sent us into the activity of making a living in the first place. consider the source that meets the need. We must eventually remove our view from the outer. We must expand our awareness beyond dollars and cents. We must look beyond those corporations with its personalities as the source of our good. When we look only to dollars and cents or personalities, we limit ourselves, missing what the universe has to offer. Our mistake is that too often we give thought to the form we think our good should take, completely forgetting the activity that allows it to express. In other words, we forget about God. We cannot love what we are doing unless God is included in it. The creative activity is the life of the expression. Again, I repeat, supply has nothing to do with form, with the outer manifestation. Form is a fleeting commodity. We cannot depend on it or rely on it. We must consider our good from an entirely different standpoint than what the world declares its value and significance. I cannot say it enough. We must consider it beyond our possessions, our assets, our number of friends, or how many cars we have in the garage. You see, sometimes there will be no fruit hanging from the fruit trees. There will be no money in the pocketbook. No car in the garage. In a time of famine, there will be no evidence of the fruit of the life that expresses. Nevertheless, remember, these are merely the demonstrations of the moment. They belong to the world. They have no relationship to what we will have next month or next year. For example, the trees in the forest, they appear to be dormant in the winter time, with no leaves or fruitage. However, this is but a phase in the life of the tree. The life is in the tree, and in due time it will once again bring forth its leaves, its fruit, appearing in its season for expression. This is the way of the world. It represents the process side of life. There is a process that brings forth, a process that allows for uptimes and downtimes, feast and famine, failure and success. When we include God in our lives, the world processes do not touch us or move us. We are one with the life that is eternal, and it lives us and moves us according to our seasons and times for expression. We are not of this world. Therefore, let us take ourselves apart from the world and reason from the standpoint of the activity that allows for expression. We read in the Bible, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." There is only one sense of good, and it is spiritual. There is only one fulfillment, and God does the fulfilling. God functions as the life of that apple tree, the depth of the ocean, the rain, and the sunshine. God fulfills as diamonds and pearls, as crops, fruit, and berries. God functions as our fulfillment. Jesus did not try to turn stones into bread because He knew it was God's function to feed him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus had meat the world knew not of. He had spiritual substance that feeds the heart and the soul, the mind, and the body. So it is with us. It is not our function to take thought. It is God's function. Supply, fulfillment, is the word of God. Supply is every word of truth that comes from the kingdom of God from within. Every word of truth that we entertain in consciousness. Every word of truth that we abide in or that abides in us is our supply, our sustenance. Do you now see that I, in the midst of us, is our bread, our wine, our water, and our meat? In fact, everything that we will ever need. God has supplied these things. The spiritual sustenance is our fulfillment. When we go out into this world, the activity of making a living is actually our opportunity to express the gifts, talents, and inclinations of our inner nature already in place, seeking a way to escape and fulfill themselves. When we are true to the source that supplies our inner nature, we love what we do. It can be no other way. You see, we are no longer working merely to meet our physical needs because we know it is God's function to do so. We no longer rack our brains for the answers and solutions. We know it is God's function to provide ideas and inspiration. We no longer have to think of supply at all, nor do we have to earn it by the sweat of our brow. Jesus told us to give no thought for our life, for what we should eat or drink, or for what we should put on. Now just think of all the time we have spent considering these very things, and yet it is not necessary for us to do so. It is God's function to meet our needs because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Following the dictates of the heart, we are the open and receptive vessel, waiting for God's infinite wisdom to guide and direct. God expresses as us. Therefore, we give our focus to how well we accomplish what is ours to do. To obey the word of God, we work not for a living, but for the joy of serving God's intent and purpose. And when we serve others, we are actually serving God. With this assurance, we can go out into this world thinking how many ways we can do the job, how many ways we can be of service to our employer, our co-workers, clients, and customers, in fact, to all of humanity. If our activity involves working with the public, we ask, how many ways can we bless, acknowledging that the divine nature of us exists in the soul of every man and of every woman? Simply giving recognition calls forth that identity, which is the blessing. Working in this way, wherever we find us, is where we are meant to be. The location of the day job is almost incidental, merely the avenue for expression at that particular point in time. If you are that student in school, the volunteer, or the retiree, just let your light shine. That is, let your God-given gifts and talents go before you as the benediction that affirms eternal life. If we can do nothing else in this work, we can be the benediction at every step that we take by realizing God is with you. Peace be unto this household, this space. Peace be unto this business, to this office, the customer, and the client. Claiming God's presence is the benediction, the blessing that acknowledges that God is in this place. Because we are the children of the Most High, we are heirs to all the heavenly riches. This is why we do not work merely for a living, but for the service we can give. When we are heir to all the heavenly riches, what else could we possibly need or want? Now it is not so much a matter of us loving what we do, but rather, we acknowledge that it is love that moves us. When we live in the awareness of inner being, we understand that what we do is for the purpose of fulfillment and expression of that nature. Truly, this is the gift that God has given us, and we must use it wisely. I want to make it clear that when I speak of fulfilling oneself, one's nature, I'm not referring to the personality, to that identity that belongs to the process side of life. I am speaking of the self of the inner nature, the one of high consciousness, that one who answered the call and came up higher. Yes. Let us take us apart from the world. Let us be still. Feel God's presence that loves us and moves us. In this quiet time, our act of surrender is, "Speak, Lord. I am listening." Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. The invitation is given, "Come unto me, and I will teach you many things." Planted in your soul's awareness is knowledge of your divine nature. When you rest in the silence, I speak, and the world melts away. Release all when you come to this holy place. Let go of all the outer. Just let it fall away. Your role is to blend yourself with me, to listen with the inner ear and discern with the eye divine. My plan for you is that you live the abundant life as my beloved child, Christ, as your spiritual self. Attain the mind that was in Christ Jesus, the great mind that formed the universe, formed you, and everything in it. Be still is the command of the soul. Be still and listen. God's love fills the heart of every man and of every woman. Allow it to go before you, making every crooked place straight. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in all beings. Praise him for word and for my his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.